County Comptroller Susana Mendoza. Good to see you again.
Great to see you.
It's good to see you back in Southern Illinois so quickly.
Oh, for sure. You'll see a lot more of me, I promise. So, love it out here.
So did the Women's Center call you, or did you hear about them and come down to see them?
Well, we heard about them, and we've heard so many great things about them because, as you know, they've been around as long as I've been alive. I mean, they started out in 1972, and the fact that they cover eight counties in Illinois, I mean, everybody knows who the Women's Center is. And so this concept that because the state hasn't had a budget in 3 years and they weren't even included in last year's budget at all means that they've been providing these services entirely for free, not getting a penny in return, and are potentially at the brink of closure. So our office is
2 months away on the closure.
Yeah, that's what they say. So let's hope to God that that's not the case, because if they close, I'm telling you, people are going to die in this area.
All right, when you met with them yesterday, the idea is that they have outreach centers like Saline County, the former Anna Bixby Women's Center closed. Mm-hmm. Women's Center of Carbondale now has satellite offices. And in the process of this 3 month plan, as when I first talked to Kathy McClanahan, 3 months,
sure,
they were going to contract those services back into Carbondale, mm-hmm, and then lock the door.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, this is what's happening across the state. And look, when, you know, I always tell your audience that, you know, I may be from Chicago, so please don't hold that against me. But when something happens in Chicago, a domestic violence shelter closes, it's terrible. But there are other entities that can help pick up that slack. You know, a woman is not going to have to try to hitchhike her way or somehow magically transport herself 150 miles with her children to seek help. If a domestic violence shelter here, if the Women's Center goes down here, that's what's going to happen. And women aren't going to be able to just call an Uber and, you know, head down 150 miles to the nearest domestic violence shelter. They're going to have no option, and their only option is going to be to stay with or return to their abuser. And worse yet, you know, someone's going to end up dead, and that's wrong.
I can back this story up for you. Crab Orchard, I meet a woman who has had her friends drive her from Indiana to get away from her abusive husband.
Mm-hmm.
She's been pretty badly beaten. She has a tent, canned goods, and a bicycle, and she's living in the campgrounds here.
Jeez.
And whenever I find her, learn more about her needs, get her in touch with the Women's Center.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are. Didn't have the help that she needed where she was at. Mm-hmm. This is as far as her friends were willing to drive her, and they dropped her off and went back home. And then she is literally standing in a campground with a bike, a few bits of canned goods, very little cash, and a bicycle. That's
oh
it.
Oh my gosh.
That's all she had.
But imagine if she had children, she wouldn't even have gotten that far. And that is tragic. And so, I mean, we live in a beautiful state. We're just driving through the state talking about how beautiful it is and how rich of a state we are in terms of natural resources and topography. But we are like in a situation that we're poorer than any other state in the nation. We have $13 billion in bill backlogs. Taxpayers are going to be on the hook right now, as of today, if magically I had a budget that allowed me to pay the bills. Taxpayers would be on the hook for an additional $800 million at least in late payment interest penalties alone. That's money that will never, not a penny of that will ever go to organizations like the Women's Center or Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville or Carbondale or you name it, right? Like early childhood education. Nobody gets anything when we are literally just burning almost $1 billion worth of money into late payment interest penalties.
All right, but what about the Commitment to Human Services Fund and the Education Assistance Fund, a total of $817 million proposed in the last minute before the House went out last time? I spoke with Brandon Phelps, among others, on this, including David McSweeney,
mm-hmm,
that these two funds had in the neighborhood of $817.
$817 million.
Excuse me. Thank you. And that pushing these out to these social services and specifically higher education, he called it a lifeline.
It is a lifeline. That's exactly the best way to refer to this. And what's the worst part about this, and I hope your audience understands this, is that we're not talking about new money. We're talking about money that is currently in these special funds already. Every time people pay their taxes, a little percentage of that goes into these funds that is then used to pay these bills, right, and these social service providers. Now, these folks have gone without payment for 6 months or more. And because we don't have a budget, I am not legally authorized to tap into those funds to pay the bills. And instead, those those funds continue to accrue money in them that can't be used. And at the same time, taxpayers continue to be on the hook for additional late payment interest penalties because we're not actually using that money to pay down the bills. So this lifeline is fiscally responsible as you can possibly be. And anybody who claims to call themselves a fiscal conservative should be voting for this lifeline budget because it's fiscally irresponsible to do anything otherwise.
I spoke with Governor Rauner. He did not seem to indicate that he was willing to do this, not based on the fact of what you were talking about. The fact is he wants to drive for a full balanced budget. I spoke with him specifically on this count last week.
He doesn't know what a balanced budget is. He claims to, on three occasions now, have introduced a balanced budget. PolitiFact, which is a fact-checking nonpartisan group, has rated his claim as not like partially true or maybe sort of kind of false. They rated it pants on fire false. That's the worst you can possibly be. So maybe they have to do a new one that's called liar, liar, pants on fire. But it's not a balanced budget, not even close. He's only interested in term limits. And when I met with job creators yesterday in Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, folks who are literally, you know, trying to have their businesses not just survive, but thrive and create jobs, they said they could care less about term limits. They just want stability and predictability.
SIU, of course, the Women's Center, there's one and two. I mean, there's orders of magnitude here when you talk about fiscal situations. You've got social services, but you also have what is Southern Illinois' largest regional cash generator, job revenue, economic grower, driving the economy. That's SIU and their payroll. We're talking about around $31 million in additional cuts. Later this morning, SIU President Randy Dunn is going to be joining me in the studio. If he was here now, what would you tell him?
I'd tell him we have to, you know, everybody has to be putting pressure on the governor to put aside his pet projects, things like term limits and redistricting, and go ahead and call those on the House floor and the Senate floor and debate them like normal human beings do in a democracy, right? But they should not be holding the budget hostage as a result of holding on to his pet projects. That is really what this is all about. And Governor Rauner believes that people should suffer just a little bit more or a whole heck of a lot more until he gets what he wants. But, you know, he was elected to govern, not to be a dictator. And this needs to stop. You know, people of Illinois should not be his casualties.
All right. Now, when you look at this, you talk about the Women's Center, you talk at SIU, you see social services shutting down in an area that is not as economically developed. Let's face it, some of the highest poverty counties in Southern Illinois are here, and the money splashes around. Because the thing that entranced me about the very first time I met you was something that is a pet peeve of mine. When you don't handle your money well, you don't have well, you spend money on interest. Imagine that amount of interest as you often have. See, I'm an ideals guy. I like to grow stuff. You know, I want to create an idea. Let's build something better for the eclipse. You know, when you throw this money out the window, you don't, when somebody has a great idea, you don't have the money to finance it. It's just an idea until you've got money to drive it in this state.
Right.
And we've got legislators who still have not come to the conclusion we're broke, clearly.
Right.
They have to come through that funnel some way or another. But the idea that we are wasting huge sums in fees to handle pensions that do not make as much money as the people who make those promises and take those fees promise, substantially less. The amount that we service our debt, the dysfunction and the psychological and morale effect on the state of Illinois, when you start looking at these as a body of work, you're looking at a bunch of people who are walking around bewildered and don't know what's next. And none of that bodes well and takes a long time to shed.
Right. Well, absolutely. Look, and at the end of the day, in these regions of the state of Illinois, it's about one thing, and that's jobs. And when I was at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, I met with the Small Business Development Center yesterday. And they do amazing work. But guess what? There used to be 13 Small Business Development Centers, and now we're down to 7 because of this budget impasse. So 6 of them have closed their doors. So for a guy who says he cares about creating jobs, he's actually led the charge on creating the reality that we now have gone from 13 Small Business Development Centers to 7 under his tenure. And that means that these development centers that are still around have to absorb a lot more work. They're unable to go out into the community, actually help create businesses, bring on new clients, help them grow their businesses and create jobs. And this is not helping. And also, when as a governor, you have made a choice to disinvest in higher education at the tune of 58% over the last 3 years, 30% was a cut in his very first non-balanced budget proposal, right? That is speaking to the governor's priorities when it comes to higher education. And our university system is about to crumble. This is not a veiled threat. I mean, they were all just downgraded again, or they're being threatened with a downgrade.
Northeastern lost two levels.
Northeastern actually did lose.
Two levels, and Moody's Investment Services says they're going to do this evaluation at every public university, and they're already at the bottom.
Yeah, and we're you know, this is no joke. I mean, we need a budget. We need it like yesterday, and if we don't have one, university systems in Illinois are going to crumble. I spoke at a high school on Monday. Not a single kid said that they're willing to go to university system here in Illinois, and that's tragic.
Devil's advocate. Governor Rauner's only been there 2.5 years, and this problem's gone on a lot longer. I mean, you can't lay everything at Rauner's feet, because this is a problem that's a long time in the making. Why he says he ran for governor. I mean, you've got people who've been in office 40 years saying it's this guy's fault. He's only been here 2 years.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree that the governor didn't create the original mess that he inherited when he took over, but he was elected to make things better. And since governor has taken office, by every single measurable account, the state is worse off. And what I can tell you is that while things weren't good, they weren't even great. I mean, they weren't great. They weren't even really good. But for the last 4 years prior to Governor Rauner taking office, and this is important that people realize this, every single one of the credit rating agencies said that the state was moving in the right direction. We were working our way out of the financial mess that was the state of Illinois. So for four consecutive years, our bills were being paid down. And the credit rating agency said that we were moving in the right direction. Since Governor Rauner has taken office, the credit rating agencies have downgraded our state six times just in his own watch over the last 2 years. I mean, that's incredibly fast and too many. And our state is $13.3 billion in the hole in terms of just debt that we owe right now in bills, not to mention the pension debt.
Right.
And so, again, our state has never been worse off. Instead of fixing things, he's compounded the magnitude of the problem.
And I saw Wayne Rosenthal's comments about the parks and the Associated Press. And, you know, if there was one thing that we didn't talk about, and I'm out of time. I've won way over time, but it's you. So.
Oh, thanks.
There's one thing that's sitting on the shelf that scares the living hell out of me. Medicaid.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, it scares the heck out of me.
We don't know. And with Pat Quinn, we went all in the Affordable Care Act. I mean, all the way up to our elbows here. And what's going to happen out of Washington in relationship to us on that and what we're potentially on the hook for has me terrified.
Yeah.
Because it's some big numbers, and we really don't know how big.
It's terrible. But you know what's even crazier? I don't know if it's crazier, but just as alarming is the fact that you have people in the state of Illinois and here in this area in particular who are state employees who pay fully into their medical premiums, and they are being denied a medical care outright as if they didn't even have insurance. So talk about that. Right? Like, these are people who have done exactly what we've asked them to do. They've paid fully into their premiums. And when they have serious illnesses that need medical attention, they're told, sorry, I'm not going to be your doctor because the state of Illinois does not pay its bills. That is wrong.
Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza, come back and see us, will you?
Oh, of course. Thank you so much.